the finger vein recognition model based on Kolmogorov-Arnold networks. Welcome to Journal Club. I'm Malcolm Dix. If you've ever used a fingerprint scanner to unlock your phone, then you're already familiar with the basic premise of biometric verification. Finger vein recognition fits into the same category, but with a twist. Instead of scanning external traits like fingerprints or face contours, it captures the vascular patterns inside your fingers using near-infrared imaging. These patterns are unique and hard to fake, making them ideal for applications where spoof resistance and signal stability matter more than raw convenience. Banks, hospitals, border control systems, these are the kinds of environments where vein-based biometrics show up. From a modeling perspective, finger vein recognition is tough. The signal is buried in noise. The lighting conditions vary. The infrared images can be blurry or off-angle. Traditional approaches relied on handcrafted features, hogs, LBPs, Gabor filters. Then deep learning arrived and convolutional architectures became the new default. CNNs like Inception V3 and EfficientNet now dominate this space. They work reasonably well, but they're also limited in an important way. They assume a fixed functional structure. Each layer uses a predefined activation function, and the weights are learned in that fixed context. That's fine for many tasks, but if the structure of the input data is highly nonlinear, or if small perturbations in the input space translate into large non-uniform shifts in the output, those assumptions start to break down. That's the motivation behind the model proposed in today's paper. The authors created a system called VeinCAN. Vein, like the veins in your finger, K-A-N. It's a finger vein recognition system that replaces the typical final classifier with a Kolmogorov-Arnold network, or KAN. KANs didn't start getting popular until last year, but their foundation goes back decades. They're based on a classic problem from the 1950s, the Kolmogorov-Arnold representation theorem. On today's episode, we'll break down the architecture of VeinCAN with a particular focus on what the underlying theorem is, how it works, and how Kolmogorov-Arnold networks differ from conventional neural nets. Let's jump in. The Kolmogorov-Arnold theorem states that any continuous multivariate function can be written as a composition of univariate functions and addition. This idea has real architectural implications. Instead of relying on stacked layers with fixed nonlinearities like rectified linear unit or sigmoid, you can build a network out of flexible, learnable components that each operate on just one input variable at a time, then recombine. A KAN isn't just a feed-forward net with more exotic activations. Structurally, it's quite different. Each connection in the network is treated not just as a weighted edge, but as a learnable function. These per-edge transformations are typically implemented using small parameterized subnetworks or basis function expansions that can learn arbitrary 1D nonlinearities. You can think of it as the inverse of standard dense layers. Rather than applying a nonlinear function to a sum of linear weights, KANs sum over nonlinear univariate functions, applying independently to each input. This changes both the expressive power and the inductive biases of the model. There's no activation function at any layer. Instead, each edge has its own nonlinear transformation trained from data. This gives the model more degrees of freedom to fit high curvature regions or to adapt to multimodal distributions in the feature space. From a training perspective, this also decouples the optimization of the weight structure from the choice of nonlinearity, allowing the network to tune both simultaneously. This makes KANs especially good at modeling relationships where traditional architectures either overfit or underfit due to misaligned activation assumptions. To make this tractable, most implementations use a finite expansion basis for the univariate function, such as piecewise polynomials or B-splines, which are differentiable and can be efficiently traced with backpropagation. These function approximators are often regularized to avoid runway complexity. The result is a network that, on paper, has the same universal approximation capability as a deep MLP, but can reach better fits on structured, high-dimensional data with fewer parameters or less overfitting. In this paper, the authors use KANs in the final classification stage of a finger vein recognition system, where the input is a high-dimensional embedding vector produced by a CNN backbone. That CNN, the Inception V3, is doing the heavy lifting on image feature extraction, and the KAN is handling the final classification step, taking over from what would traditionally be a stack of dense layers and a softmax head. The intuition here is that the vein patterns are complex, and the class boundaries and feature space are unlikely to be linearly separable or even easily carved up by fixed nonlinear functions. A KAN with its learnable per-edge functions can flexibly adapt to whatever nonlinear boundaries are actually present in the data. That flexibility is the core selling point. Let's go a little deeper into the phases of this pipeline to really hash out where KAN fits in and where it doesn't. Stage 1 is ROI extraction. This is a pre-processing phase meant to isolate the actual vein-bearing region of the input image and discard background or anatomical areas that don't contribute to classification. The process is deterministic. Images are cleaned and normalized, then passed through edge detection and segmentation routines. The output is a tightly cropped image centered on the vein structures. The goal here isn't just efficiency, it's to constrain the input space so that the downstream model doesn't have to learn spatial invariance or waste capacity modeling irrelevant artifacts like skin folds or ambient lighting gradients. Stage 2 is feature extraction, and this is where Inception V3 comes in. The authors use a truncated version of the architecture, maintaining the Inception modules but removing the final dense and classification layers. The convolutional layers are used as a fixed backbone for extracting local and mid-level features. These include a stack of 3x3 convolutions, max pooling, and multi-scale feature maps from the Inception blocks. The point of using Inception here is to balance width and depth, capturing both fine-grained edge structures and higher-order spatial patterns without inflating the parameter count too aggressively. The use of Inception blocks also helps the model retain sensitivity to multiple receptive fields simultaneously, which is important given the irregular scale and orientation of vein structures. The third and final stage is classification. Instead of passing the features into a conventional MLP or global pool plus softmax setup, this is where the authors plug in the KAN. This is the part that breaks with standard deep learning design. The implication here is that the KAN can learn not just the weights that combine input features, but the actual functional form of the nonlinearity between them. This makes the model more flexible and expressive, especially in low data or noisy environments where the assumptions built in to rectify linear unit style activations may not hold. At the system level, these three stages are chained together into a single feed-forward pipeline. Input images go through ROI preprocessing, hits the Inception V3 backbone for feature extraction, then those features are passed the KAN classifier. During training, all components are updated jointly via backpropagation. The ROI extractor is a fixed preprocessing routine applied before training and inference and is not part of the learnable model. It is optionally frozen or fine-tuned depending on the experiment. The KAN is always trained from scratch, and its parameters and activation operators are problem-specific. This architecture is not meant to be lightweight. The goal here isn't deployment on embedded systems. The focus is on recognition accuracy in scenarios where precision is critical and where the nonlinearities of the input space can't be easily captured by fixed function classifiers. The architecture reflects that priority. The question is, does this architecture actually work? Well, yes. In this paper, VeinCAN consistently outperformed every baseline model in both accuracy and generalization. It held up even on the most difficult dataset where other models saw noticeable drops in performance. Despite being the largest model, its inference time was comparable to Inception V3 and still within practical bounds, though slower than lightweight models like MobileNet V3. In short, it delivered stronger classification results without sacrificing significant runtime efficiency. That being said, its larger parameter count still makes it a poor fit for low power or edge deployments, and there's no evidence it supports compression techniques like pruning or quantization. Inference time was only benchmarked on a desktop GPU with no data for constrained environments. The evaluation was limited to clean, well-aligned datasets raising questions about robustness in the wild. And since KANs are a new architecture with limited tooling and community support, adopting this model means taking on ecosystem risk as well as technical risk. If you want to see how the authors implemented the KAN layer, including their training loop, their evaluation metrics, and a side-by-side comparison with standard models, then I'd highly recommend that you download the paper. It includes architecture diagrams, feature map visualizations, and detailed benchmarks across multiple datasets. You also get the full breakdown of runtime, parameter count, and more for every model tested. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.